Hi, everyone. This is Ellen Ritter. I am the Dean of Students for the Institute for Life Coach Training, and we're here to talk about the fun of credentialing in the coaching profession. You're probably all here because credentialing in coaching can be really confusing. It's ironic given the fact that our field is all about creating clarity. I think people are more confused about the credentialing than anything else. The first thing to know is that in the United States and throughout most of the world, you can be a coach without holding a coaching credential. There are no states that require that you are have coach training, much less hold a credential in order to practice. So it really becomes a personal choice about what you want to do. The exception to that is if you wanted to work, let's say, at IBM. There are some of the large corporations who do require that you would have something like a PCC, and we'll talk about what the different credentials that are available. But at this point in time, there are no requirements that you are credentialed. There are a couple states that have talked about licensing coaches, Colorado, Indiana, and Oklahoma. None of them have proceeded with it. So this all may change in the next few years or the next decade, so we don't really know. So if you're looking at a lot of programs, there are two different groups that do credentialing that are well recognized and respected. And you'll go out on the internet and you'll see things that say, oh, watch my video for 5 minutes and you're a credentialed coach. You're not. So if you're looking at a lot of programs, you want to make sure that it is accredited by the International Coach Federation. They are coachfederation.org is their website. They really are the ones who have set the standards in the field for the last 15 years. And we'll talk about the credentials they offer. If you happen to have a graduate degree, so you're a counselor, something in the social and behavioral sciences, either a master's or a PhD level, the other organization that has what's called the board certified coach credential, that is a center for credentialing and education. Their website is CCE, so catelephant-global.org. That is primarily for those who have graduate degrees. So looking at schools that are approved, if your state becomes one of the first to start licensing, is a testimony that you've gone to one of the schools whose curriculum has been reviewed by a professional body and approved. In terms of the ICF, we get reviewed every 6 months. So you can be very, there are a lot of schools out there, a lot of them, there are over 200 ICF-approved schools. They are called ACTP, or Accredited Coach Training Programs. We're one, but we're one of like 220, I believe. So that's the opening thought. On to credentialing, and if you guys have questions, and I know that a number of questions were submitted, I'll give you a basic overview, and then I would love to answer any questions you have. So for credentialing, did you guys get the table that we usually provide?
Yes.
Okay, good. So on it you'll see that there are certifications, which are ones that we offer, and then there are credentialing. So for the board-certified coach, they have three different levels to get a credential to be a board-certified coach. The first one is the 30-hour program. That is for those who have a doctorate degree or a master's in counseling. And their second to be board certified is, and it's a very strange division, would be people who have a master's in other social and behavioral sciences. So MSWs, people with master's in psychology. And then there is one that is, the 120-hour is for people with bachelor's degrees. the difference between the main difference between the board certified coach credential and the ICF credentials is the fact that there is an education component to it. Many of us are really pleased that there's finally a graduate level awareness, because so much of the work that one does in graduate school is applies to coaching. But also, as you're moving a profession forward, most professions really do require graduate work or credentialing. So that's where the BCC came about. The ICF, you do not have to have a college degree. In fact, they don't even look at your past educational experience. And they have three different credentials, two of which are on the table. There is the ACC, or the Associate Certified Coach. That is their entry-level credential. It requires 60 hours of coach training, 10 hours of mentoring, and 100 hours of coaching experience. For many people who are looking at our program, that's what they are ultimately pursuing, although they don't have to, but it's a choice. But ultimately, that's, I think, going to be the minimum one if you don't have a BCC that you should have if your state's going to license. If you are thinking of being an executive coach like IBM, as we already discussed, you may want to look at the PCC. The PCC is 130 hours, and you actually would graduate from our program. It also requires 500 hours of coaching experience. So that is about a two-year commitment if you were going and doing it straight through. I actually have had a student who did it in about a year. But it's a fairly intensive with very sequential classes. So starting with our foundations. For most of our programs, they start with the 40-hour foundations class, and you'll see that that's consistently required in everything but the 30-hour for the BCC. The other thing that we have are we have certifications. So a lot of people really want to specialize. We happen to offer six different certifications in business, life, coaching, Christian coaching, career coaching, relationship coaching, and wellness coaching. Because there are so many crossovers between the 80-hour requirements for any of our certification programs and, say, the ACC or the BCC, a lot of people will get both, but they really want to focus and do an advanced focus in their area that they hope to coach in. So that's what our 80-hour certification programs are. And as I said, a lot of the stuff like the mentor coaching and stuff can all be considered as part of your 80 hours, which makes it fairly easy. So we have a number of students who will get two or three different certifications or credentials in order to give them what they want. And one of the reasons to be credentialed, probably one of the best other than if licensing happens, is it allows you to advertise that you have put that time in. And for a lot of people, that's very important. They want their clients to be reassured that they know what they're doing. The other part of it is I've been a coach for over 10 years, and I have never had a client ask me what my credentials were, because so much of coaching is about the rapport and do you understand them? Do you share the same vision as they want to work on different aspects of their lives? So that's the other side of credentialing. So, again, it becomes really a personal choice in terms of what you want to do. And I know that's a lot right there, so why don't I open it up and see if there's any questions just on this part.
Ellen, this is Amy. Just interrupting for a moment. I had to mute a couple of lines due to background noise, so if you're muted and you'd like to ask a question, just press star 6.
Great, Amy. Thank you. anyone have any questions on the different credentials we've discussed? If not, a couple of the ones that have come in. I've had two different people who asked about whether or not if they were a licensed professional counselor, does that help and is credentialing required? Does it help? Yes, because it qualifies you for the 30-hour program, so you're reducing how much you need to do. And whether or not it's required, it really depends for people who hold a license in the helping professions. It really depends on the ethics code and the requirements of your state licensing board. There are some states, I happen to live in one, that if you are offering a new modality, such as coaching in a social work practice, you must hold a certification or and provide training to add that modality. So it's really important for those who hold licenses or are under ethical boards for other professions that they really are aware of the requirements before they start offering coaching, because you don't want to jeopardize your license at any point in time.
So my name is Renee. I have an MSW but don't have a license. Am I required to have a license to become a coach?
You are not.
Okay.
No, and that in many ways that makes it easier for you. So no, for the board certified coach credentials, it's based entirely on the graduate degree.
Okay.
And not licensure.
That's great. Okay.
So you would be in the 30-hour BCC program. And if you also wanted an ICF credential, because our program is one of a handful that is approved by both the ICF and the Center for Credentialing and Education, the exact same 60 hours that you took to get your BCC, if you went forward and did your mentor coaching, you'd also get an ICF credential, the ACC,
Okay.
which is nice. You don't have to take the classes again. Start all over. Someone, Kendall, asked, what's the best practice when starting out and developing your own practice, jumping in and eating everything you can, or pace yourself out over time when it comes to certifications? We really say get out there and coach. Our classes are a combination of theoretical and experiential learning. So if you're doing open-ended questions, you are reading about it the night before, your instructor might talk about it during the call. You and I might be coaching each other, but it's really, and you're also in a peer group, so you're doing it all the time. Because coaching certification at this point is not required, really getting out there and applying your coaching, you know, when you feel confident, when you have a pretty good grasp of what the core competencies or the skills are and how you work ethically as a coach, it's really important to do it. In our program, we have people who take our foundations class 5 or 6 years earlier and then come back and go, ooh, everybody I'm talking to has relationship issues, so I think I want to pursue, you know, a relationship coaching specialist, something like that. And they're able to do that. The credits never expire, so they're there. So it becomes, if coaching holds that the individual is the expert in their lives, we run our school very much on the coaching principles, and you're the expert in whether you want to have a credential before you coach your first client, or you'd rather, you know, get your feet wet and then come back and figure out what you want. So either works, but it's getting out and coaching, because that really helps you build your practice. Does that make sense? As far as someone asked, Leah asked about the exams for the BCC, both the ICF credential, either the ACC or the PCC, and the BCC, the board certified coach, this is like alphabet soup, they all require X number of hours of coach training. coaching experience and then sitting for an exam. Both of the exams are available fairly frequently. For the board certified coach, after your application has been approved and you've documented your coach training and your coaching experience hours, the board certified coach exam is offered the first 2 weeks of every month at a proctored site around the country. There's thousands of them. For the ICF credential, after they have approved your application, you are taking a test that is on the what's called the core competencies or the coaching skills and the code of ethics that you're under the ICF. And that, I believe, it's a fairly new exam, and I believe it is on the computer. Has anyone taken it who's here? Bev, did you take it?
Not this year, Ellen.
Okay. So that's the exams are fairly straightforward, and we will work with you on the materials you need to take them, give you your transcripts, all of that when you decide to go in and get credentialed. So, Bev, you had a question about your wellness coaching specialist.
I didn't send a question in, I don't think. I have a question more in my own mind, Ellen. I went through my foundational training with ILCT in 2006.
Okay.
And I do have the board certified coach credentialing, but I took the exam the very first year they offered it.
Yes.
So I think that that's 5 years this year, because I think that isn't there a renewal or something that I have to prove my continuing ed units like after 5 years?
There is. Both any of the credentials require continuing education units.
Right.
So, Bev, I took mine at the same time you did.
Right.
And I'm one of the people for the BCC who was audited. And so that means I have to prove. Not everyone does for that credential. The BCC, only if you receive a yellow note that says you are audited do you have to turn in all of your 70 hours of CEUs.
Really?
Yes.
I was waiting for my notification.
Okay, you'll get it. It's hard to, but it's just like one line that says, please submit all your certificates, transcripts, and stuff.
Oh.
If not, you just renew and say, yeah, I know that I'm supposed to keep going with my training.
Okay.
The ICF requires that you turn them in if you have an ICF credential. So after, and I believe theirs is 40 hours every 3 years. And so at any level that you are for the ICF, you are turning in your continuing education. And obviously it's coaching based. So, Bev, you may luck out and only have to pay your, $40 renewal fee.
I've already paid it.
Oh, then you're done.
Thank you for telling me that.
Yes, you have another 5 years.
I decided to register for this program today because I still, in my mind, am trying to decide if I want to do the ACC because I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I think I have all the requirements.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what
again, It's a very personal decision, you know, of whether it's something that you would like to add to your sort of resume.
Right.
And aside from the classes that you needed for your BCC, the other piece is the mentor coaching.
And that's 10 hours.
Or if you've done it privately, mentor coaching, the ICF requires 10 hours for the ACC. And it's somebody listening to your coaching and giving you feedback on how you improve it versus business building or other mentors.
Well, I did a mentor coaching class with Tina Elliott, and I think that was 4 credits, right?
I would have to go in and look, but
yeah.
You'd probably be good. And in some of our classes, we have mentor coaching now,
uh-huh.
But I don't think when you took foundations we did.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It wasn't when I took it.
Well, I'm always trying to think of, working on my professional development. And so I'm playing with this in my mind because I think it makes a difference when you're marketing to say that you're a coach that abides by a certain standard of professionalism.
Yes. And I do think that's the benefit of a credential. It also puts you legally under a code of ethics.
Right.
The people who are out there and are just coaches, they are accountable to nobody. But when you hold a credential, as you know, Bev, from every time you renew your BCC, you need to attest to the fact that you are following the ethics code.
Right.
And the same with the ICF. And I personally think I think ethics is crucial. So I think that's one of the benefits for your clients as well. Plus, it gives you guidelines on how do you behave as a coach for those sticky moments.
Ellen, do you ever see this as something that's going to go in the direction of licensing?
I really do.
You do?
Yep. I would guess within 5 to 10 years. Colorado brought it up about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, and the ICF was, and a lot of people are really against licensing. But there is more movement. People say, well, because coaches aren't dealing with mental illness, it's not that same need to license. But the reality is, in my opinion, when you're in a relationship with someone and you're working together, there is that ability to do harm. So being able to require that people have had training or have hit a certain level of professionalism, I think is why states should license coaches. Not all coaches agree with me, but, I think... And ideally, it would be a national or an international one, since coaches can work, unlike like therapists who are only licensed in one state, coaches work throughout the world. You know, a mm-hmm. lot of coaching is done over the phone, which is why we run our classes over the phone, so that you can have clients in 5, 6, 7, 8 states. So I don't know what it would be like if it became a state-bound. But I do think it's coming. Just who knows when? Who knows what government's going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. The state of, I believe it's Arkansas, just required that all of their counselors who add coaching into their counseling practices must hold a BCC. So it's sort of little groups are starting to add that in so that I have to think it's ultimately going to become all coaches. And that will usually what they do is they give you a year and they'll have a few different categories. Like if you hold a coaching credential, you apply under this. It's almost like a grandfathering period. If we've had people like when the BCC came out, people who had over 2,500 hours were able to go in, still take the same test that Bev and I took, and become board certified, even though they may not have held a master's degree. So I'm guessing that's what it'll be like for states, so that you will have a little bit of time to finish up credentialing and stuff. One of the questions that Nancy asked was, is there a chance that there will be a cooperative agreement in which the ICF recognizes the BCC as equivalent to the ACC? Ah, what a good question. And who knows? I think because the Center for Credentialing and Education is much more education-based, so you have to have a bachelor's to even apply to get your board-certified coach. I'm not sure that that the CCE would consider them to be equivalent, and I don't know about the ICF. Certainly the 60-hour program, so aside from those with doctorate degrees, the 60-hour program is identical. you know, in terms of the training that you do. So they really are equivalent, except then you're adding in a graduate degree in, like, social and behavioral sciences. So there, you only are a board-certified coach. There's not a tiered system, whereas the ACC and the ICF then has a PCC, and at the end is an MCC, or a Master's Certified Coach, which I don't have on the table because it's, you really have to have been a coach for 10 or 15 years. It's over 2,500 hours of experience and hundreds of hours of coach training. And so that's a fairly rare credential. Does anyone else have any other questions?
Ellen, this is Amy. I actually have a question submitted by Selena, and she is asking about the, she said she just renewed her BCC, and she's wondering if she can add on the business specialty anytime, and if there's been any feedback for that, and also how is she to track her coaching hours for credentialing?
Okay. So, yes, you can add it anytime. What it requires to do, the board certified coach has four areas of where you can specialize. So you can be in wellness, career, life coaching, or the executive leadership business one, which she's asking about. To do that, you have to have taken one of the electives to become board certified in that area of specialization. And you have to do 30 or more hours of coaching experience in that area. So while you have to provide 30 hours of general coaching just to get your BCC, if you've done 30 hours or more of executive coaching, and you can, there's two ways. If you went to ILCT, then you can send it to me. Just what you, for all credentialing, what you do is you give the name of your client, when you worked with them, whether it was paid or unpaid, and in this case you'd say that it was executive coaching. If you went to ILCT, I can do that form for you really easily. If not, you can fill it out, and what you would do is send the whole table, so with the name of your client, a way for your client to be contacted, and the number of hours, and you would submit all that to the Center for Credentialing and Education, and then they would do the verification. We do the verification for ILCT. So hopefully that helps. And does it make a difference? For some people, I have some students who are very keen on making sure that they've got all of their specialization designations, and others who are just satisfied with being board certified. So again, it's really a personal choice. When you are doing your continuing education units to maintain your BCC, I believe when you have a designation, you have to do at least part of it in that area of specialization. So hopefully that answers that question. And if you have other questions at any point in time, you know, feel free to always reach out and give me a call or shoot me an email. My email is Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, at lifecoachtraining.com. And our phone number is 888-267-1206. I'm extension 101. And Amy, who you're also hearing on the phone, is 102. And we are always available to talk to students, help clear up any questions, you know, work with them on building their practice and stuff. Does anyone have any questions? Have we cleared up the mud of credentialing?
This is Elizabeth Cole.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
You did a couple of BCC endorsement forms for me recently, and I thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
Also, I was wondering, I had to bow out a call for a student visitor for a little bit, so you might have covered this, so I'm sorry if this is repeated information. But I'm a BCC, and I was wondering, like, since I did Coach Approach, do I need to do anything specific to, like, get on the ICF track for the ACC or the PCC?
No. Your classes count. And so you have two options. Coach Approach is the first half of our Foundations class.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 of the 40 hours. So we have, which runs once a year, Coaching from the Inside Out, which is the second half of our Foundations class, which Susie Strauss teaches. Or, because they don't really specify, you can just do, instead of doing that class, you can do 20 extra hours of electives. For, let's say, if you're going in for the ACC, what they want to see is that you've done at least 60 hours of approved, ICF-approved coach training. So they're less, and you've gotten lots of hours. I know. Right?
Yeah, I have lots of hours, so I don't need to worry about the difference between Coach Approach and Foundations then, right?
Nope.
Because I also have some with the academies and their career coach training, and so that's ICF approved too, so I'm sure I've got tons of hours. So I just need to focus on any curricular differences in the mentor coaching and the experience stuff then, right?
Right, and there are a couple different pathways to going in for the ICF. It's the hours you've gotten if you've done some with a career. If you're going in for the PCC, let's say, which is 125 hours,
mm-hmm.
you have two options. One's to, if you've gone through, and I don't remember right off the top of my head, if you've done, like, the required classes for us, like core comp coaching skills. But so that's the ACTP track. And then there's an ACSTH track,
mm-hmm.
which is if you're bringing in credits from a number of different schools.
Okay.
And I think the difference is are that if you're going into the ACSTH track, you have to do the mentor coaching. And if you're going for the PCC, I believe you need to do two recordings for them to evaluate. If you are graduating from ILCT, we actually have a whole graduation exercise so that you are writing two essays and then you are doing a coaching demonstration that is graded. So you have to be at the PCC level to graduate. And then you're in the ACSTH. And we can talk about, you know, which of your classes mold into those if you want at any time.
Okay. And then, like, I was thinking about adding an ICF credential because I'm trained in some assessments that are useful for organizational development and things like that.
Okay.
I'm not sure that organizations in my area know enough about coaching to insist on an ICF credential.
Right.
But I figured, you know, it would just be useful. So anyway,
great.
I'm going to give some thought to pursuing that.
Okay. Yeah, let me know how I can help.
All right, thanks.
Or any questions you've got as you run into this.
All right, thanks.
Does anyone else have any other questions?
Hi, this is Lakshmi. I have a question. I'm not sure if it's relevant in this forum, and if it isn't, then, you know, go ahead and we don't have to address it. But I was curious to hear about those of you who are both licensed therapists and coaches, certified coaches, whether there is a lot of similarities in the kind of work that you do both as an LPC or LCSW and a BCC.
Anyone else want to take this? All right, I will. Although I'm not a licensed therapist anymore, the skills you use are very similar, but there are distinct differences. First of all, you're not dealing with mental illness. Coaches ethically cannot deal
Correct.
With people who are
mm-hmm.
dealing with mental illness because that's the realm of therapy. coaching is much more future oriented. So it is not about healing issues from the past.
Mm-hmm.
It is working with a person from where they are now to where they want to go. And it is much less directive. Coaching holds that each of us is whole and healthy and are the experts in our own lives. So you're not giving advice to your client on how they should live, but you're working with them to come up with their own answers. If you are holding both a license and you are also credentialed in coaching, you're under two codes of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
There is no case law right now on how that works. But what we suggest to our students in our program, which was founded in 1998 to train therapists, counselors, and social workers, so that's a large part of our population, we suggest that you have very separate practices, including separate contracts. We actually, as part of either the coach approach or the foundations class, we give you contracts that you can modify for your own because every state has different rules.
Right.
And one of the important things with coaching, if you're doing coaching with somebody and they're going to a coaching contract, say, you know, you're signing up for coaching. This is what coaching is. It is not a substitute for therapy. If you need if you need a therapist, I will refer you, or you should go talk to a therapist. So that's a big consideration. And one of the questions is, well, so I have a client who comes in as a coaching contract, and I realize they're clinically depressed. Can I just move them over to my therapy practice? We suggest no. If you're a BCC, the BCC says that if a coaching client comes to you and you realize there's a chance they have clinical depression, you're obviously not diagnosing them because you're a coach, then you should refer them away from your practice. But there are clients who, you know, you're working with them as a counselor to heal an emotional issue from their past, and you do, and they're back on their feet, and they really want to continue working with you on what their future looks like. You can transition them over to a, if you think they're ready, to a coaching client under a different contract.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you so much. That was very well addressed. As a follow-up to that, though, is it ethical to offer coaching when you're only an LPC?
Yes.
It is.
Yes. And what you need to check, is check your state law. You're
okay.
If you're an LPC, you're under a licensing board.
Right.
Is to check to see whether or not your licensing board requires that if you add in a new modality like coaching, whether or not you need to have a certification in it or training in it.
Okay.
And that varies from what I gather state by state.
Okay.
But yes, and it really is the same skills. And a lot of counselors are unlike a Freudian therapist, a lot of counselors really are fairly coachy. They're just, it's who they're working with.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, so that's an interesting thing, too. But our suggestion is it's always about, you know, informing your clients.
Right.
So, you know, in therapy, it's informed consent, so that they really understand if you're suggesting coaching to them versus counseling, what are the differences? What are the implications?
Right.
Coaching is usually not paid by insurance.
Right.
So that's one of the considerations. But then, again, there are also, you know, clients who come in and because they want it under insurance, therapists throw a label on, like, oh, you know, they're attention deficit disordered. And really, are they?
That sounds unethical, though, isn't it? That's not the right way to do it. The reason this kind of is coming up is I'm an LPC and I have a clinical practice, but I do get requests for coaching. And until now, I have not accepted those clients. I have preferred to refer them out.
Okay.
But if I, my thought is if I'm going to get a lot of referrals for coaching, I might as well get the BCC because it's pretty easy if you do have an LPC.
And I think that way you are better covering yourself.
Right, right, exactly.
Yes. And the difference
Thank
is really
so
nice.
Thank you so much for that. And who am I speaking with? I'm sorry I didn't catch your name earlier.
I am Ellen Ritter. I am actually the Dean of Students for ILCT. So if you're coming in, you and I will work together all the way through.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so
I'll
much.
Help you do your BCC application. Just another thing. Because people coming to you for coaching are healthy and are working on what they want to do with their future, what their dreams are, where there's the gaps in their lives that they want to fill so their lives are more fulfilling,
mm-hmm.
the energy can often be very different than when you're doing therapy.
Right.
Therapy can be very tough to do sometimes, depending on the population
yes.
you're working with. Coaching, my experience is coaching, I want to get out and dance in the streets. It's just, it's so
right.
exciting. It's so empowering. It's so strength-based.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
it's really a nice change.
Correct. I think the thing about counseling is, you know, you start from a disease model, no matter what approach you, because people come to you because they're struggling with something.
Yep.
Whereas the coaching is much more forward-moving and, you know, more health-based or strength-based,
yes.
as you said.
Yes. And, yeah,
okay,
there
thank
is
you
no,
so much.
There's no assumption of disease because
right.
the assumption
right.
of disease, you have to refer them.
Right, exactly. Thank
yep.
you so much. I appreciate it. I will follow up later.
Oh, my pleasure. Does anyone else have any other questions?
This is Elizabeth Cole.
Yes, Elizabeth Cole.
This is not so much a question, but a comment on what we just discussed. I've been with the American Counseling Association, formerly known as the American Association of Counseling and Development, since 1987.
Yep.
And I remember back then it was equally about development, human development, achievement of potential, positive growth areas, blah, blah, blah. I think counseling as a field, and I've seen it in my professional associations, our state certification and licensing board, our state counseling association, the kind of conference programs they offer, they've just gone off the deep end on the medical model, diagnosis of pathology, all
yep.
for the sake of insurance reimbursement. But that stuff ends up on your medical information bureau report forever, diagnosis.
Yep.
And I think I've not been as happy about its growth away from the human potential movement
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
fulfillment of positive possibilities. And I'm not even trained in pathology, diagnosis, medical insurance reimbursement. I don't want to be. I'm not a mental health counselor.
Yeah. No,
and
I
so,
absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. And
I
so,
agree too.
I think coaching has grown up because counseling left that void. And I am a counselor who works in a college setting, and so I'm dealing with mostly, you know, career and academic and personal, but it's choosing and setting goals and pursuing that. So my practice of counseling is educational, vocational, guidance counseling. It's more like coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so coaching to me doesn't feel a whole lot different.
Right.
But because I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor in my state, I still do the separate documents and keep a strict separation between private clients outside of my workday and my workspace. Like, my college students have access to my services free. But anyone else, if they're a private coaching client, they have to do the contract and pay. But I make explicitly clear in there that, you know, what coaching is and isn't. And, you know, that it's not associated with my employer, et cetera, so that there's like a very, you know, clear dividing wall. There's no muddying up my practice.
That's
so,
right.
Perfect
way
right.
to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Thank
That's
you.
All
I
I'd say. Thank
I went to college in this, not to date myself, but I went to college as a psych major in the 70s and did counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and got my graduate degree like in 2000. What a difference the field had shifted.
Right.
Because you're right, it was about human potential, and then it became about diagnosis, and it became a medical model, and I had to take
right.
pharmacology and stuff, and I just knew that that wasn't something I ever wanted to do. I'm much more strength-based. And so when I found coaching, that was my light bulb moment of, oh, this is what I always should have done. Because, you know, I just, when you label somebody, as you said, it sits on their record forever.
Right.
But it also changes how they feel about themselves.
Right. Well, I think the reason, one of the reasons why the whole field shifted in that direction is more because of its goal to get more credibility as a licensed provider. You know, in that journey to licensure, LPC, the whatever the counseling associations are moving towards what the MSWs had done before them and what the PhDs had to do before them to be legitimate mental health providers who would get insurance reimbursement. So I think that journey happened more because of that more than anything else.
And I think the insurance piece is a big part of that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But the other nice thing about coaching is you don't have to spend all those hours filling out all of those insurance forms.
Right.
And having somebody tell you you can only have four sessions, that's covered. It's like, really?
Right.
You as an administrator in an insurance company can tell me what my client needs?
Mm-hmm.
So we train a lot of people who are therapists but really miss the strength-based piece, like Elizabeth.
Yes.
And or who are burned out. Or they're hoping it's something they can retire from their clinical practice and keep working with others to help them. You know, because coaching really is one of those things that you can work with your clients sitting at a Starbucks or while you're sitting on the beach with a phone, as long as it's a quiet beach. Because it's and there's a ton of research that actually supports working with clients over the phone is as successful, if not more so, than working with them in an office.
Okay.
They're more relaxed. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they're in their own environment. They're not having to travel and schedule and stuff. So I think it's inevitable, and especially with the growth in technology, people are using, I was talking to a therapist in New York yesterday who uses FaceTime.
Right. Well, a lot of people, because of the distance credential counselor that NBC, now NBCC folks get, or CCE, I guess, also oversees that. A lot of people do Skype and, you know, FaceTime and all of that. So, yeah, that makes sense. Thank you, ladies. That was very helpful.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Elizabeth. It's good to hear somebody in the field balancing both.
Right.
And it really is changing, you know, which is why we provide our students with a contract from ACA, American Counseling Association, which is now acknowledging that there are people adding in coaching. So how do they do it? The APA also has one. So, you know, I think while there is a lot of resistance that, oh, coaching's not real, you know, and especially 5 years ago, it's just a bunch of upstart people. The fact that there are so many professionals who are going into the field, adding it to their current practice and their current knowledge base, I think it's still very much a transitioning field, which is exciting to be in.
But it's also, there's less of a stigma. You know, it's much more acceptable.
Much less. Yeah, you're not going because you're crazy. You're going because you want to improve your lives. You know, almost every executive in large corporations have a coach. You know, Tiger Woods has a coach. Oprah Winfrey has a coach. They're all over the place. Yeah, so it's very different.
Right.
And probably needed. You know, if 15% of the population at any point in time is dealing with mental health issues, the other 85% of us just want to really, you know, improve our lives, make our lives more satisfying, more enriched. Need a little help to get unstuck on those days where we're just not sure how to move forward. And that's really where coaching comes in. Does anyone else have any other questions? Comments? Concerns? If not, thank you very much for attending, and again, we are available anytime you've got questions. My email is Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, at lifecoachtraining.com. Our website is www.lifecoachtraining.com. I would suggest one of the things that we have on our website that I think is really of benefit, whether you're a student or not, is that we run free calls every single month. So we did this one today. We did one on the ethics of bringing in stuff like Reiki into your coaching practice. We will do them on marketing. So you can get to them by hitting the resources tab and then listening to calls on coaching. We keep all the recordings up on the website. So we probably have, I don't know, Amy, more than 100 different calls. So how do you put your company on Facebook or, you know, working within your community? There's a lot of different resources there that can really help as you're considering coaching or as you are, you know, building your coaching practice. And so I encourage you to access those and to reach out to us anytime you've got questions about credentialing or our program. Because we would love to have you join us. We are strong believers in the power of coaching to bring a positive force to the world and help people create better lives. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you
so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.